Second Timothy, please. Second Timothy chapter 1. Here's a verse I bet almost everybody here knows. Many of you have it memorized. Second Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look today in God's word, whole thoughts, sound words, right? From God's word. Whole thoughts are sound words. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what?
Sound mind.
The word sound mind, they're one word in Greek. They're from two different words. A word that is the word sound, it's to make whole. It's a word that means to deliver, to heal. God has given us words that are to heal. And it says sound mind. It says that we have thoughts that are healing. Thoughts that are whole. That's a sound mind. We're coming back here to Timothy, but I'd like you please to go to Mark for a moment, please. Mark chapter 5. The first place that the verb for this word, sound mind, is used is here in Mark chapter 5. And sometimes it's really wonderful to go to a first place in God's word, look at the context, look at the meaning of words. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to give you the background. There's this man. He was insane. And this verse is going to tell us how bad off he was. He went from being possessed of a devil spirit and insane to having whole healing thoughts. 15, it says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion. That's like a lot of little devil spirits. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. His right mind. And then it says they were afraid. When he was crazy, you could read the record. He lived in the tombs. He lived in the, you know, we call it the graveyard. He was whacked out, this dude. He was crying, yelling, cutting himself with stones. Not somebody you want as a neighbor. But it says that Jesus Christ healed him. And after he healed him, he had sound, whole, healing thoughts. That's a sound mind. Wow, what a contrast. And it says they were afraid. I think that's a pretty good commentary on the world today. If a sound thought came along to many people in the world, it would freak them out. But the word of God gives us sound, whole, healing thoughts. Back to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Quite a contrast, right? From insane, possessed, to a right mind, having whole, sound, healing thoughts. Wow. What God's word can do. Well, back to Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, 13. Here's another word used for sound in verse 13. Hold fast, hold fast, hold fast the form of sound words. The form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith or believing, and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, God designed our minds to think his word. Our minds were designed to think God's word. They were not designed to think fears, negatives, anxieties, worries. They were not designed to think evil. They were not designed to think those things. God made our minds to think his word, to think sound, whole, healing thoughts. That's how we're designed. Look at how he formed, made, and created Adam and Eve. When they were first on the earth, they had perfectly sound minds. They had perfect bodies. The word of God gives us sound, whole, healing thoughts. That's God's word. And if we try to put things into our minds that are not the things that God designed for them, we kind of screw up our minds. I was thinking of the other day, I really know nothing about cars, really much at all. However, I know this. You don't put apple cider vinegar in your engine instead of oil, right? Am I wrong? Anybody know cars? Yeah, it's not wrong, right? Okay, yeah. I don't care if it's organic, grain-fed, cage-free, whatever. Apple cider vinegar, you put it into your car's engine instead of oil. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be what we call seize. The engine seizes. Oh, I've had that happen to me once in a car because I just forgot to put any oil in. What's your car is designed, your engine is designed for oil. And that oil gets up in there and it lubricates all those moving parts in the engine, right? Apple cider vinegar, as great it is to do everything else that it does, it's not really good for your car's engine. Well, see, there's a lot of great sounding thoughts out there. A lot of experts who have lots of ideas. There's people speaking all kinds of stuff out there that's being purported as being good for us. But the Word of God can only guarantee that God's words are the sound words. God's words are the words that heal. God's words are the words that are whole. Proverbs, please, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. It's not a very popular thought today. Sorry. But you know the condition that you're in right now? Guess who's responsible for that? Yeah, you are. I'm responsible for the way I am. I might blame my mother for not giving me enough chocolate, or blame society, or blame the government, or blame, I don't know, everybody's got something to blame. But I'm responsible for what I put in my mind. I'm responsible. You're responsible, Maisie, for what you put in your mind. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us something to put in our minds. Everyone there, chapter 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He's saying, you take my word, my words, and you keep them in the midst of your heart. We're going to see a little more about the heart. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What is he saying is health?
Words.
Words. The word health here, it's a word that's used like for a medicine or a remedy. It's a word for healing. God says his words are healing. His words are healing. See, just think of it. Having, just like you take medicine. What do you take medicine for? A sore throat. Okay? You have a sore throat, you take that goopy stuff. People take that goopy stuff. And then it coats your throat and it feels better, right? You know, it's like a medicine. God's word is the healing balm. It's that healing medicine for our minds. And then it says, keep it in the depths of your heart. Look at the next verse. Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So look, if you want the issues, the stuff, the fruit that comes out of your life to be good, what do we want to do? Put good things in there. Now, how does stuff get into the depth of your heart? You know how it happens, Ellie? How things get in your heart? Do you? I'll tell you. You think about them. That's how things get to your heart and mind. We think about them. You want a good heart? Well, think good things. Think them a lot. Because the thing that you think about a lot is the thing that gets into your heart. Pretty simple, right? I could blame my mother not giving me chocolate, but it doesn't matter. What thoughts I think are what makes up my heart. Something. And what's it talking about? Words. Words. Words are the thing that we battle every day. The battlefield in this life is what words I decide to hold on to and to allow to get into my heart. That's up to me and that's up to you and how beautiful it is. It says, keep thy heart. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? You know, you don't put on a coat of mail. You know, you don't put on this big, you know, football stuff, you know, protection stuff to guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? You watch the gate to your heart, what you thought you put in there. And you say, that one, okay, you can come in. That one, get out. So we guard our hearts. That's how we do it. And if we put those whole healing thoughts of God, those are the things that are going to be in our heart. You can do that, right? I can do it. Our battle's one of words. Go to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. Years ago, I experienced how physically damaging thoughts can be to myself. I used to work at this very stressful job. Ever tell you about my old boss, Lucifer? Yeah. Her name was Lisa, but everybody called her Lucifer because she was the fear of the company. And she was my boss. There were days when, you know, it was coming up to the end of the weekend and I knew I had to start thinking about work. And it physically hurt for me to think about it because I had a period of time there that was just so tremendously stressful. And so it hurt. I remember thinking, don't think these things about work until you have to because it hurts. Well, think of the opposite of that. And I was stupid, you know, I was stupid to allow it to affect me. That's my fault, not Lucifer's, you know, but that's my fault. Think about the other side of that. What about if it's God's words and they're healing whole words? They're the way God designed my mind to work. They're the way God designed your mind to work. Told you Psalm, right? 119. See, our battle is a battle of words, the words that we decide to put into our minds. 119:10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It says he hid God's word in his heart. What does it mean to hide something? Izzy, what does it mean to hide something? You put it in a place that's safe where nobody else can get to it, right? Exactly right, Izzy. Thanks, Michael. Exactly right. You put it in a place that's safe. Well, he says, guard what? Your heart. Your heart. He said he put his word in God's word in his heart that he might not sin against him. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Then here's the next thing I want to concentrate on. I will meditate in thy precepts, the things of his word, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Some versions say that he treasured up or he stored up God's word in his heart. Hey, wow, that's something they have as a treasure of your heart that you protect. You know, some people have safes in their house. What's the safe for? They put things in there that they don't want other people to get to take. That's for us, our heart. our heart. And so this guy, what a wonderful believer. He stored up, he treasured God's word in his heart. Every one of us can do that. The result will be what issues forth out of our life. You don't like what's coming out of your life? Let's be better at guarding what goes into our minds that we allow to get to our hearts. Okay? Psalm 107. And you know, the more and the more that we put the word of God in our hearts, the more and more our lives are going to issue forth those wonderful fruits of God's word. That's what I want in my life. 107 verse 20. He sent his what? Word. He sent his word and healed them. Isn't that interesting? He didn't send expert doctors. He didn't send celebrities who think they know what they're talking about. He didn't send politicians who have some star-studded thing to push. What did he send? Word. He sent his word. And what did it do? Healed them. Good Lord. He sent his word and healed them. That's the kind of thing I want in my life. I want the healing words of God. The words that God designed for my mind to think. And then my mind, as screwed up as I've allowed it to be, will get better. And my heart will continue and continue to improve in quality because I put God's word there. That's the healing word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said that he will meditate. He will meditate on his word. That's what he said. He's going to meditate on his word. Let's look at that in 1 Timothy. I think it is a tremendously liberating thought, freeing thought, to know that each of us is responsible for our hearts. How liberating that is. I might have had a good or a bad life, but I decide what I put in my heart and what issues forth out of my life can be good. How awesome that is. And by the way, you know, everybody looks and says how hard their life is. Everybody looks and says how busy their life is. I don't hear too many people saying their life isn't busy. Do you? Do you know too many? There's a few, but not too many, right? Was it as bad as Jesus's?
No.
Do you remember what he went through? Yet think of the thoughts that he thought. The word of God says that we should let the mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. He endured the cross, but kept the whole healing thoughts of God in his mind. So, you know, if you want to complain about how bad you've had it, let's just keep the record straight. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Talking to Timothy, a leader. Then the next word, meditate. Occupy yourself. Think over and over and over again upon these things. And you can read in the context the things of God's word that he's talking about. Give thyself wholly to them. Immerse yourself in them. When you really love something, you love to think about it, don't you? I remember when I got my first car. I loved that first car that I got, and I would just think about it. And I'd look at it, I go, there it is, yeah, that's my car out there. And I just liked to think about it. I liked to think about it. You know? Or you get a new game, Trevor, you really think about it a lot, don't you? You don't have to answer. I know the answer is yes. Look. He says in his word, meditate, think about it. He says, think about it a lot. And then he says, give thyself wholly to it. That means immerse yourself, be absorbed in it, that thy profiting, thy progress, thy profit may appear to all. I read an article the other day. I had to look something up on a medical portal, and there was this little article on the side. And this is what they were saying, these experts. Meditate. Meditation is good for you. and what they called mindfulness these days. Mindfulness, in other words, believe it or not, they're now telling people, decide a thought that you're going to think and think about it a lot. Well, of course that has benefit. God's word has told us for centuries, I give you my word, meditate on it. Immerse yourself in it. Think about it a lot. Then what's going to happen? Those words of God are healing words. And then you're profiting. How you do is going to appear to others. I can't help you unless I'm also helped. And if I'm helped, I might have something good to help you with. Isaiah 26. Here's another really familiar one to most of us. Isaiah chapter 26. See, the process of meditating might be beneficial, but I'll tell you what, the thing that you meditate on, that's where the great, great benefit is. The thing that you meditate on. We want to just heal ourselves in and out, and we do that by meditating on God's word. It's how he designed our minds to thought. It's better than apple cider vinegar. Isaiah 26, most of you know verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what?
Stayed,
fixed. Whose mind is stayed, fixed, rested upon thee, God. Look at the next verse. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I was thinking of this word, stayed. Some of you know music. Do you know what a sustain is in music? Anybody know what that is? Yes, it's when you hold a note. It's when you hold a note. Sounds like it's coming from all over the place. That's a sustain. That's holding a note. There's a pedal on the piano. You know what it's called? Sustain pedal. And you know what it does? It holds the notes. You play a note, and then, or notes, and you hold the sustain pedal down, and those notes continue to hold. That's this word here, stay. Whose mind, he keeps us in peace. Peace, it's a figure of speech, epizeuxis. Peace, peace, whose mind is sustained. Stay on. You want peace? Nobody's going to say no, right? You want peace? How do you get it? Sustain on God's word. And then even if we're not in a peaceful situation, we can have peace. We can have God's inner peace. And that's the thing that's healing to us. Psalm 112. Your kids are doing great. Psalm 112. Here's one that's good for our day and time. Frankly, it's good for any day and time. You know, we think our times are so unique. I'm so tired of that word, unprecedented, that I see everywhere. These are unprecedented times. What's the other word they use? There's another one. There's another word they use all the time. But these are unprecedented. Every time is unprecedented. It's never happened before. But whatever the times are that we're living, it's up to us to decide to have peace by thinking God's word. All right, here's one. Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. You know, all this expert opinion that we hear out there, I believe, are evil tidings. Yep. Evil tidings. They are distracting us from the word of God. Evil tidings. He says you won't be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So when the evil tidings come, what do we do? Well, we can decide instead to sustain on God's word. To sustain on God's word. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Psalm 119, in verse 97, he says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, he must have had a healed heart. He must have been a very healthy dude. Philippians chapter 4. You know why bad things happen? Because there's a devil. That's why bad things happen. So get over it. But now, let's decide what we want for ourselves. What do you want for yourself? How about health? Well, here it is. Let's think God's word. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. It's prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. One of the versions says it's more excellent than every way of thinking. The peace of God, which is more excellent. I always think of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Excellent!
Excellent!
It's more excellent. It's more excellent than every way of thinking. That peace shall keep or protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, then it tells us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. A lot of things there. And all those things are characteristics of God's word. If there is any virtue, is there?
Yes.
This word in Greek expects a yes as an answer. If there's any praise, think these things. Here are the things to think. Here are the things that will bring me peace. These things, which those things you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was challenged the week before, whatever day it was. I was in pain. I was in more pain than I'd ever been in my life. And I learned something about my mind. I learned it wasn't quite as strong as I thought it was. That when I was in this excruciating pain, I had trouble thinking the thoughts that I wanted to think. And that was not a happy revelation. I'm glad now that the revelation happened, not the pain. But the revelation, you know, the understanding, because I realized how important it is for me to treasure God's word in my heart. So in a war situation, that's the stuff that comes up into my mind. That makes it easier and easier for me and you to think God's word when we put that word there and treasure it in. I told you what, 2 Corinthians? Yep, chapter 10.
Chapter 5.
Oh, I meant chapter 10, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Please forgive me. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look at what the next verse tells us we're talking about. Casting down what?
Imaginations,
these plans, these schemes. And every high thing that does what?
Exalteth itself
against the knowledge of God. Could it be any clearer for us to cast down? How do we fight? We cast down. We blow to smithereens. We blow up those imaginations, those plans, those schemes that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. Here's the knowledge of God, and here's all that other stuff. And when that other stuff starts getting more important to us, more prevalent in our thinking, the Bible says, attack it. The Bible says, demolish it. Demolish that human logic, that those imaginations, those schemes in our thinking. Then it says, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, then it tells us what to do. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. And you and I can do this. Let's practice, okay? I'm going to throw something out there for you to think about. Are you ready? Hamburger. Hamburger. Was it hard to do? Did anybody get hurt? No, you're okay, right? Hamburger. Did you think about a hamburger? You decided to think that word. You decided to think that word. That's just how we get thoughts in our heart. We think about them over and over and over again, and guess what happens? Ta-da! They show up in our heart. That's how we do it. And then we believe that word, and we build experiences about it, and it enforces, it fortifies those truths of God's word in our heart. So nobody can steal them from us. So no one can get to them. So they're there for us every time that we need them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We read the verses leading up to this. The last thing I want to mention is that it takes time. Well, let me ask you, how important is this to you? How important is it to you to have the healing words of God for your lives to be peace, peace? How important is that? That'll determine how much time that you and I decide that we're going to take to meditate, to allow that word of God to ruminate in our minds. The mind picture I always get, I know you're probably all tired of hearing me say it, but I think of it like cognac. You know, you can think maybe of ice cream, I don't know. But here's what you do when you drink cognac. You drink cognac, you take a little sip, okay? And then you let that cognac get all around in your mouth. And it gets all over in there. And you feel it and you experience it. Now, some of you hate cognac probably, and that's fine. You could think of sriracha hot sauce if you like. This is what I think about, okay? And I hardly ever drink cognac. Just let it stay, and just so enjoyable. Some people smoke the cigars, you know? You smoke the cigar, and you just love that. Personally, I hate it, but other people love it, right? One thing, though, that all of us should love is God's word. So it takes time. Put the word there and think about it. I thought about that stupid first car that I had, and it's in the grave right now. Think about God's word. Let it just take the time. It takes time. But the payoff is our hearts get better. Our lives get healed. Healed by that word. I told you, Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and unto the teaching, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, and then you're also going to be able to help other people that hear you. Continue. These words, continue, take heed. These things take time. It takes attention. I think it's worth it. Two more verses. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Well, of course we're going there a lot because it mentions the word of God in every verse. Psalm 119. I remember something Dr. Werwell said once. He said, if you don't take time to read God's word, you don't have time to live. It's that important to our lives to get God's word in our minds. Well, what else are we doing in this life? Aren't we here to live for God? Are we here to represent him? Psalm 119, verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. The word prevent is the word anticipate. And what this means...
What's that verse again?
It's 119, 148. It means I wake up before the night watch. I don't know if you know, but back then, they didn't have 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rock. They had different watches of the night. The first watch, the second watch, the third watch. Those were the times of the night. And what he's saying is before that watch comes, I'm awake. And this is what I'm doing, he says. that I might meditate in thy word. He stays up at night so that he can meditate in God's word. Wow. No wonder his heart was wonderful. And we're going to close in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read these verses again. Proverbs chapter 4. It takes time. It takes time. You have to decide and I have to decide. Is it worth it? Benefit from God is pretty clear. His word is healing. His word is whole thoughts. And if we'll take the time to ruminate, I don't know if that's a good word, but to allow that word of God to marinate, I don't know, to just live within us and think about it over and over and over, it will end up issuing into our hearts and issuing forth something good, something we want in our lives. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to their entire body. Health, that's what a lot of the versions say. Health to all their flesh. The word of God says that the words of God are life to those that find them and healing to their entire body. You need a better argument than that to think God's word? Well, there it is.